All right, we're back. This is Who's Talking, and I hope everyone has enjoyed the show so far. Jason Williford was terrific in the first segment. Habbo and I sort of batted around a little football news there in the second segment, and now we're going to pivot back to basketball.
Yeah, we're still trying to hook up with Ted Jeffries. Haven't been able to do so yet, but we can have a little basketball discussion. I must admit, interesting emotional week. I was embarrassed and angry after Monday night. I mean, the game down in Tennessee, very disappointing to have that kind of performance and just simply not show up.
But you were kicking your dog again, weren't you? Admit it.
Not this dog. I really like this dog.
So you know what's interesting? If you looked at the schedule last week before the games, you might not have come up with Pittsburgh beating NC State in Raleigh. You might have gotten Maryland winning at home against Georgia Tech. You probably weren't surprised that Syracuse won, but maybe the fact that it was 49-45, that was a red flag to me. I mean, what was happening in Syracuse?
And then, which is weird, because I mean they're playing at the Carrier Dome. I mean, Miami's not that good. I mean,
they lost everybody. The whole team went to the NBA or somewhere. Clemson barely beat Boston College at home up in BC, and that's really weird because Jim and I thought at the beginning of the season BC might be one of the sleeper teams. And they look like they're on self-destruct mode or something.
Yeah, there's got to be maybe something going on internally up there with the chemistry, because based on their performance at the end of last year in the ACC tournament with the people they had coming back, you expected they were certainly going to be one of the better teams in the league this year.
And now, and then you throw in the fact that Duke lost at Notre Dame. No shame in losing at Notre Dame, but Duke is a very good basketball team with a lot of talent. And then, of course, then there was the big upset with Wake Forest knocking off Carolina by 6 or 7 points. And raise your hand if you saw that one coming, unless you were a Demon Deacon fan. Because that, you know, they kept Marcus Page from going crazy, and he's been chewing people alive.
Well, and I know a lot of Wake Forest fans have been almost rooting against Jeff Bedell, like their coach, or there to get him out of there. So I think there was kind of a bittersweet, oh, we won. Damn it, he's going to be around. You know?
From their perspective, Wake is a disappointing 11-3.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know what's interesting is in the days ahead, first off, you've got Maryland at Pitt tonight at 7 o'clock. Tuesday, you got Georgia Tech at Duke, NC State at Notre Dame, Syracuse at Virginia Tech. Word has it that Virginia Tech's got a lot of sick players that have come down with some kind of flu or whooping cough or whatever they've got going.
I thought you were making a joke there.
No. They really are. They've got illnesses.
And, one of the challenges that teams throughout the ACC are going to have this year is, I mean, you know, Syracuse plays that plain Jane 2-3 zone defense, but they play it unbelievably well, and they have length. You know, they get out after people, so it's going to be interesting to see how teams play against that.
Well, Boeheim has recruited all those 6'7", 6'8" forwards that are lightning quick with a lot of length, and they're like windmills in there, and they get a lot of tipped balls and tip shots, and on top of that, they always have a couple of guards that can shoot it from 30 feet, and I can't remember the white kid's name for Syracuse, but he stands off to the side, and he is deadly. I mean, deadly. He's got ice running through his veins. His name escapes me right now, but he's a terrific shooter.
Well, big factor is
and they got Terry Fair.
Yeah,
the other guard is plenty good. So
few teams play zone anymore that many teams are just not prepared to attack a zone in my mind in an effective manner. And then of course
Trevor Cooney, look out. If you catch a Syracuse game this year,
don't let him get an open look.
Huh? Yeah, you keep your eye on him because he will chuck it up from almost, you know, off court. I mean, he's no conscience.
Well, in addition to not playing against zone that much, you get a lot of teams anymore that just have limited number of perimeter shooters that, you know, and that's the one thing that was encouraging about the Virginia game over the weekend. You know, Justin Anderson is starting to show some ability to maybe make the three. London Perantes made three threes, particularly early in the game. He made a couple, and then, this is going to be our LeClaire Ryan play of the game later on, not to give a hint, but
Just
Evan Nolte. Yeah,
you're going to give Evan Nolte the play of the game?
Yeah, at the 5:59 mark. You know, brought to you by our friends at LeClaire Ryan. But Virginia was up 22 with about 11 minutes to go in the second half, and Florida State cuts it to 11. And it, coming in out of a timeout, Bennett puts Nolte in the game. Mm-hmm. And they run that double screen action where they ran two guys off the screen. He was the third guy coming off the screen. And
in the left side of the court.
He gets the open look and nails that three, which was a big basket, you know, because Virginia only made two field goals in the last 11 minutes. That was one of them. And it was a big moment in the game because you just had – it was a momentum from my standpoint. You know, before we went on the air, you talked about the missed layup that Anthony Gill had on that one situation.
On the
where,
follow of Nolte.
Yeah, and, you know, it was just wide open, and I was about to have a heart attack at that moment because, again, that was a point in the game where Virginia really needed a bucket, and to have an easy look like that and not be able to convert is very frustrating.
You know, clearly Virginia needs a player like Nolte coming off the bench, contributing. You know, his strength is that outside shot. I mean, last year down at Virginia Tech, he went off. And, you know, they need that. It gives the whole starting five and maybe the top six, seven players a lift when he comes in.
Well, particularly the other day in the absence of Joe Harris, you know, in that particular play, the timeout was at 6:03 and his made basket was at 5:59. So that's what I like. Guys come off the bench, they don't need to get the sweat rolling, catch it and shoot it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Malcolm Brogdon and Justin Anderson were a combined 8 of 24 from the field, and that can't happen anymore. It's just they've got to shoot a higher percentage. And free throws, I did notice that Malcolm Brogdon was 5 of 6, Justin Anderson was 5 of 7, and London Prentice was 3 of 4, and they stabilized and stemmed some of the bleeding, which was caused by, unfortunately, Akil Mitchell make his first three, and then he missed 7 in a row. 2 of those 7 that he missed were front ends of one and ones, which is essentially like missing 4 free throws.
Well, that's the equivalent of a turnover when you miss the front end of a one and one. And, you know, it's clearly the guys in the front court. Anthony Gill didn't have the best day at the free throw line either. Darian Atkins, when he goes to the line, he often struggles. So the key is if you want to be on the floor at the end of the game, you got to be able to make free throws. And really the only inside guy at the moment that you would have much confidence in is Mike Toby. And his playing time was limited the other day, and I think the problem he may be having is from a defensive standpoint, does he have the quickness to play against some of these interior guys, particularly against a team like Florida State that really has athletes?
Well, we want to remind everyone that Wednesday night UVA plays will host Wake Forest at JPJ. It's a 7 o'clock tip, and this is a big game. Virginia must win this game to hold serve, consolidate the victory on the road, position themselves for the rest of the schedule. And let's look at the rest of the schedule. The next game after that is Saturday at NC State, a game Virginia also needs to win if they want to be in the top four at the end of the regular season.
A game they certainly clearly could win.
Should win.
Well,
and then they got to play at Duke, and we know how tough Duke is at Cameron.
Yeah, well, that's a game.
So you just hope for your that you make your best effort. But if Virginia takes care of the next two games,
well, if they could get off to a
position to challenge Duke.
Yeah, if they could get off to a 3-0 start in the league, that would be a huge bonus, particularly with two of the three wins coming on the road. If that were to happen, so and we apologize. You know, we're obviously struggling trying to come up with Ted Jeffries here, but we're maintaining the conversation. Maybe an opportunity. Any listeners out there that want to call in with a question, 345-0910 might be a good time to call in if you have a question for Frank or yours truly, whatever, or just a comment on the team at this stage.
You know, while we try to dig again for Big Ted, it sounds like maybe he got tied up something work-related up in Charlottesville. But, you know, this particular team is very interesting. I think Toby got the start. I expect and agree with Jason Williford that Toby will get the start again at home on Wednesday night. But he can't go 0-for-4 from the field, and he certainly, can't be limited to 2 rebounds, and then generating 4 fouls and he had 1 block shot. He was not that active, and he only got 14 minutes. So obviously, Coach Bennett was not liking what he was contributing. So,
well, and he only got 14 minutes in a situation where Joe Harris only played 2 minutes.
Right. So it's even more glaring that he was restricted. Yeah. You know, the one rub I've got about the rotation right now is I still think Tevin Jones needs 3 or 4 minutes every half. I think they've got to give Parentes a rest. Let's protect his feet, his ankles, his knees, and let him watch from the bench some and listen to the coaches as they talk about the group that's on the floor. And make sure that Tevin Jones is getting enough reps and enough minutes so that when they really need him, he's ready.
Well, to your point, there was a moment, I think, in the second half where Florida State might have been shooting a free throw and the camera went to London Perantes, and it looked to me like he was a little exhausted at that point in time. You know, and he played 35 minutes.
There's no reason for him to have to play 35 minutes.
No, I mean, that might be a stretch, and I think you're right. 30, 32 minutes might be a little bit better, although Brogdon played 38 minutes as well. So
and let me tell you something. With the guy that had the foot issue, that's a red flag to me. And he, again, 30 minutes ought to be enough for Malcolm getting around the court. There's plenty of talent on this team. There's a lot of depth. For goodness sakes, play him.
Yeah, but we were talking last week and the week before that we substitute too much, guys.
No such thing.
Well, no, I mean, I clearly in my mind, Joe Harris, Malcolm Brogdon, Perantes, and Justin Anderson. Those are four guys that need to be on the floor 30-plus minutes a game. Now, I don't know how you structure it, and I don't know who necessarily plays with whom. But and of course, Akil Mitchell, if he plays like he did Saturday with that kind of energy level where, you know, he had 13 rebounds and 11 points, even though he struggled at the free throw line, he made a big block late in the game. So he's a key guy out there and plays with a lot of energy and brings enthusiasm to the team. So you're going to have McKeel, I would think, playing 25, 30 minutes as well.
And see, he is you know, the sort of the shock team that comes off the bench. Justin Anderson brings instant offense and energy and some good defensive prowess and a lot of athleticism. Nolte gives you an outside shooter to sort of break people down. Gill gives you another quality player in the paint. And Darian Atkins is a defensive force and can dunk the heck out of the ball. He's got to use all these guys. If you notice last year's Louisville Cardinal team, he played a bunch of people. And you know what? It paid off. At the end of the season, in the Final Four, his guys coming off the bench were motivated, confident, and they all contributed. And the other teams that faced that wilted. Because they couldn't believe there's another five guys coming on the court that are that good.
If you look at his minute breakdown, his key guys like Russ Smith, were playing 36, 38 minutes a game.
I know, in some cases, right.
But I think some of it, you know, where it really comes into play is like Saturday, where Harris goes out almost immediately, and then Toby got dinged at one point in time, and he went out. So where the depth really pays dividends is if you do have an injury or you get some guys in foul trouble. That's where having guys that can come off the bench and contribute is critical.
Absolutely. All right, I think we're going to head to our next break. When we come back, we're going to cover the Olympic Sports Report and break down maybe the national championship game, which is being played tonight, Florida State versus Auburn. And we'll also weave some other conversation in there about Virginia's major revenue sports. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.